Today we're going to be in 1 Peter. I'm just going to go ahead and... Well, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. But while you're turning there, I want to tell you just a little bit of a story about a seed. There's a lot of farmers in here. I'm sure a lot of us at least planted grass seed. I mean, that's what I did this late fall, I guess, actually. I planted some grass seed in my yard because I had some big bare spots out there. So what do you do when you plant something? You have to work up the ground a little bit, you know, break the soil up. And then, of course, you throw the seed out there and cover it up a little bit and water it, baby it, and you sit around and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait. And about the time you think that nothing's ever going to happen with this seed, you look out there one morning and you got a green patch in the yard, right? I mean, it seems like it happens overnight. All of a sudden, you have grass that you've been waiting for months, it seems like. And then it goes, and it keeps growing, and it keeps growing. And so, this morning I'm going to be talking about the resurrection of life, endurance, and fulfillment of life. And, well, let's just start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get to reading our scripture. Father God, I just thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for all that you do. I thank you for your word that you've given me, and God, I just ask that you will open the hearts and allow the seed to be planted in them so that later on it will grow green into some new life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time it is necessary you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, which is more valuable than gold, though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you've not seen him, you love him. Though you've not seen him now, you believe in him, and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are receiving the glory..." Let me back up. Verse 9. "Because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that brings us hope for the salvation of our souls. When I was reading that, I come across this. What is this section of verses? What is it really saying? And I believe that's what God told me. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without him, there is no hope. But with Jesus Christ and his resurrection, we have a hope of our salvation. So last time I shared with you, I talked about picking up your cross and following Christ and what that cross meant to us. And what it wasn't to carry our burdens along with us. That's not what that was talking about. That was talking about sacrificing of ourselves. We had to die for Christ. Today I'm going to talk about new life in a new year. Tomorrow's the beginning of a brand new year. We can have new life in that new year. So we're starting off with the resurrection of life. So before you can resurrect something, it must do what first? It's got to die, yes. And so in the beginning of time, God created all the heavens, the earth, everything, and saw that it was perfect. Because if you look in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 2, on the sixth day, God said, "Everything that I created is very good." And so it was perfect. It was perfect. But then shortly afterwards, man sinned. Man rebelled against a loving God and believed Satan's lies. Sin entered into the world, into every human heart. Everything is now distorted and broken. Everyone is guilty before God. You know, we're all sinners. We all deserve death. And God had a plan from the beginning. And that plan was the rescue of Jesus Christ, who came and lived among us. He died among us, and then he rose again. That was God's plan from the beginning. You know, it's by faith alone in Jesus Christ, not by anything that we can do, that causes the rescue. Anyone can have their sins forgiven and enjoy eternal life with him if you believe in Jesus. Of course, if you believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord, died for your sins on the cross, and that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved or restored, rescued, as it said. So everything will be restored in a way that was supposed to be to those who trust in Jesus. We'll get to enjoy eternity in the new heaven and the new earth. That is the resurrection that is coming our way. So the resurrection of life comes to us by mercy and inheritance that is guarded by God. It is through mercy, the resurrection of life. And I was thinking I missed this one, so. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that we can do to become righteous before God. It is not only by his resurrection and mercy that we have been given a new life. We've been given a new birth. You know, we must be born again. Jesus said, truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. James said he gave us birth by the word of truth. So it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we have a living hope. Acts 23:6 says that when Paul realized that one part of them were Sadducees and the other part were Pharisees, he cried out to the Sanhedrin, brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am being judged because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. You know, the Sadducees, they did not believe in the resurrection. That is why they were so sad, you see. Thank you, Chuck. All right. So without belief in the resurrection, there is no hope. You have no hope without belief in the resurrection. Paul went on to say that your work produced by faith, your labor motivated by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of life only comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we reenact. We're going to do that this morning through baptism. Bailey this morning is going to be baptized. We're all glad of that. It's going to show that death, burial, and resurrection that Jesus did. Now, 1 Peter 3:21 says that baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ's death gives us an inheritance, but his resurrection makes it imperishable. So our inheritance that we will receive never fails. God will not let anything happen to it. He has stored our salvation away to be received at the end of time. First Peter 1:23 says, because you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. You know, we got to be born again. It's not just enough to walk the walk and talk the talk, but we must be born again. And we're born of imperishable seed. Since we know that we're going to receive an inheritance, we work to receive the inheritance as God has laid up in heaven, stored for us, waiting to give us. But that inheritance is not only imperishable, it's undefiled. And what do I mean by undefiled? It means it's without spot, it's without blemish, it's perfect. There's nothing that we can do to ever change that fact. You know, all the sins that we've ever committed, we put to death, remember? And we grew up as a new creature, a new creation in God. Not only is it undefiled, it's unfading. You know, our inheritance is not like the grass of the field that we just planted earlier that'll eventually die and have to regrow again. It's not like that. It's not like the flower that's here one day and dies and you throw it in the trash the next and it's gone and you have to start all over again. It's nothing like that. Because the Word of God, it lasts forever. It lasts forever. So our inheritance, it's kept in heaven. So a crown of righteousness will be given to all who believe in Jesus Christ. Paul told Timothy that he has a crown reserved for him, a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will give him on the day, on that day, on that final day. Being kept in heaven also means our inheritance reserved for those who believe, those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord and that God raised him on the third day. God takes our inheritance so seriously, I can't even talk today, so seriously that he's guarded our inheritance. It's guarded by God. Who better to guard our inheritance? If we tried to guard our own inheritance, we'd mess it up, right? John 10:28 says, Jesus said that he will give them eternal life, and that they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Quite the promise. No one can ever snatch us out of God's hand. So why does God take guarding our inheritance so seriously? It's a good question to ask, isn't it? This is because of our faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why he guards it so seriously. Jesus is his only begotten son. Remember John 3:16? God gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's one of the very first Bible verses I ever memorized. Sorry, I didn't put it on the board up here for you. But I had got to quoting that without the word begotten in it. And this last week, I was studying on this part right here, on this verse here. I gave them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. His begotten son means that his son has always been, always will be, and always has been. I mean, he's been there for as long as God himself has been there. That's why it's very important to put that begotten in there. It is because of our faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that God guards our salvation. So this gives us faith for our salvation, worthy to be guarded. Our salvation is the final end of a new birth. Remember, we're born, but then there's this time that we grow and we grow and we grow and we get to maturity. We get to maturity. And some of us get really old and we turn gray. Or white in my case, yeah. But it comes to a time that we're no longer here on this earth. then we get that salvation comes to us. We have the salvation, the promise of salvation, but we don't never really receive it until we're there. Till we're in heaven with God when he judges us and then gives us our final due. Robert Jameson said that salvation is not merely accomplished for us entitled by Christ and made over to us on our believing, but actually manifested and finally completed. God guards our salvation until it's ready to be revealed. You know, preparations are being prepared for us now for Christ to be revealed to us at a later time. And bear with me when I said Christ will be revealed to us at a later time, because some of you may be thinking, Christ has already been revealed to me. But hang on, I'll clarify this hopefully. So through mercy, our inheritance is being guarded by God until the end of time. Paul had an understanding of what the future was going to look like. He knew that he would suffer many things, but the glory was awaiting as well, worth it. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us." Going to be revealed to us. I want you to look back in your Bibles again to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 6 and 7 for you again. "You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time it is necessary you suffer grief in various trials, so that in that the proven character of your faith, which is more valuable than gold, though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The resurrection of Jesus Christ brings us endurance of life. Brings us endurance of life. We endure because we have hope in the resurrection. Our hope, our endurance causes rejoicing because we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we can endure to the end. Rejoice in your salvation, for we only need to endure for just a short time. The Bible tells us that we are like a vapor that appears for just a little while then vanishes. Endurance, also, if you're enduring something, sometimes suffering comes along. So take a look at verse 6 again. It says, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials. If necessary. Grief may not come to everybody here. Some point in our time, we experience grief, but maybe not. One person seems like they may not have any grief whatsoever. They seem like their life is perfect. The next person you run across, everything goes wrong with them. You know, they have more than their share of grief. Rejoice, because we're worthy of suffering in various trials. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance." 1 Peter 4, verse 12 says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as something unusual were happening to you." So our endurance of life builds the character of faith. Our endurance builds character. But our character also does one thing. It shows value. So what is value? Value is something that we hold very dear, right? It could be a glass of water. Sometimes you need it when others don't. But to give you more of a practical look at it, look at gold. When it's dug up out of the ground, it's filthy, it's dirty, it's got a lot of impurities in it. It's, I don't know, a little bit brighter than that. It's a pretty nasty looking object, but everybody seeks it. They dig up the ground for it. I mean, they work hard to obtain gold. But then it has to go through a process, a refinement. And then it makes it pure. It's as bright as it can be. I was reading this morning in Revelations, in the last part of Revelations, where it talks about the gold, the streets of gold were refined so much that they were transparent. First Corinthians 3:13 tells us this. It says, each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. The refinement is to prove that your righteousness is not from your work, but from that is through faith in Christ Jesus. It's nothing that we can do. It's all about the faith that we have in Christ. Endurance of life will bring praise, glory, and honor to us. You know, praise, glory, and honor I'm talking about, it's not coming from man. It's coming from God. There's nothing we can do apart from Christ that can bring fulfillment of life. Turn with me to verse 7 again in 1 Peter. Last part of that says that it may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believe in him, and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Belief in the resurrection causes us to endure until the fulfillment of life. There's our fulfillment. Our fulfillment of life comes at the revelation of Christ. See, Jesus hasn't been revealed to us yet. We believe in him. We believe in everything that he's done. But he hasn't been revealed to us yet. But we still love him. God says if we love God but hate our brothers, we are a liar. How can we love God whom we have not seen and hate our brothers whom we have? You know, loving Jesus Christ can only come by believing in him. We can't love something that we don't believe in. We might think we do, but unless we believe in him, we can't love him. So we believe because of the witnesses that have come before us. Believers today bear witness to the things that he has done in our lives. You know, there's many, many people in this room that you know that Jesus has touched their lives. God got a hold of them, pulled them out of the pit, brought them to life, because they are living a new life now compared to what they did in the past. Before, they were, everything about them was death and destruction. Now everything about them is life. And life more abundant, and they praise God every day for it. You know, we believe in him, we love him, and we get to rejoice in him. He's full of glory, a joy so powerful that we cannot contain it. Fulfillment of life brings us to rejoice in our new life. You know, if you have a new life, you get to rejoice in it. You don't rejoice in death, you rejoice in life. John 15:11 says, I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Receiving a new life is our goal. You know, in this new year that's coming up, there's a new life. That's our goal, is to have new life. Receiving is the end of your faith. That is the crowning consummation, finally completed salvation. Those weren't my words. That was Robert Jameson again. But I want you to understand that Peter was living in a time where Christians were literally being captured, tied up, stuck up on a stake by a man named Nero so he could light his garden at night. Just because you professed that you was a Christian, because you believed in Jesus Christ, that he rose from the dead on the third day, and on the third day rose again on the grave, those that proclaimed that were killed. They were hung on a cross, lit on fire, so that he could see his garden at night. They were at the end of their lives, and they knew it. Fulfillment of life brings us to the goal of new life. Brings us to our goal that life is salvation in Jesus Christ. They were coming to the realization that everything that they believed in was true. The resurrection of Jesus Christ brings hope of salvation to our souls. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God raised him from the dead. And on the third day, he ascended, and third day, he rose, God raised him from the grave. I always want to skip that part. I don't know why, but God raised Jesus Christ from the grave on the third day so that all that seen him would believe. And those that believed were blessed at that time. But we are even more blessed because we did not see him, but yet we still believe. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven to prepare a place for all of those who believe. He will one day, someday come again to gather those who endured to the end. Just because things go tough and rough on us, don't mean we give up. We endure. Rejoice that God thought you were worthy to have trials brought upon you so that you can be refined. You know, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no hope for tomorrow. We might as well live our lives every day the way we want to. But it's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we endure, that we are get to be fulfilled at the end time, when our time has come, when Christ has come, gathers us up, takes us back to heaven. You know, maybe you never believed, but I beg you today to do so. I want you to understand who Jesus Christ is, what he did. Jesus, he didn't have to do what he did, but he did because he loves us. You know what? There may not be a tomorrow. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee of this afternoon. The sun's shining out here, but there's no guarantee we'll get to walk out these doors and see them. Because we don't know the day, the time, the hour, the minute that Jesus Christ will return. In a moment, Nick's going to come up here when I'm done. He's going to come up, and he's going to give us instructions to our invitation. Don't take anything that I said lightly. But in this new year, I ask you to do one thing for me. I said, I want you to join me in a new life with Jesus Christ. If you don't have Christ in your life, you need to come down front today, talked to Nick, talked to me, talked to Scott, one of our pastors or deacons, someone here in this church, we will walk you through that process. We will help you to understand what it is that you are missing. Let's pray. Father God, I humbly come to you again, asking for new life. I ask you break the hearts of those who have said no in the past. God, your word tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. God, I believe that with all my heart. God, I ask that this new year brings new life to those who respond. God, let the seed that is planted, let it sprout. Let it grow up. Let it become mature. God, I praise you for all that you do. I thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sin. God, I thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.